made you, O Jacob. He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine. Those are wonderful words from God, the God that claims us and the God that calls us. We're glad you're here so that we can celebrate this good news together. As you look through the bulletins and see what's going on, I do hope you're aware that there will be a spirit night coming up at Chick-fil-A, and that's going to be this Wednesday. So from 4 in the afternoon to 7 o'clock, if you go to Chick-fil-A, tell them it's spirit night, then proceeds go to the preschool. So it's a wonderful thing. Eat some chicken on that evening, and we appreciate them sponsoring that evening. And speaking of the preschool, February 21st is going to be here before we know it. We hope you get event tickets for the Mardi Gras event that you tell your neighbors, but also tell your neighbors about the raffle. Even if they don't go to the event, they don't need to be present to win. But if you win our raffle, you get a $3,000 credit with a travel agency. You call them up and you plan your trip, the trip of your choosing. You got $3,000 to spend. So tell your friends that they can stop by the preschool anytime, get those tickets. Actually, back here on the Mardi Gras table, we'll have that available after worship, so you can stop by there. Then last but not least, we need you here on the last Sunday of this month. We're going to have our annual congregational meeting to approve the budget and install our new elders. If you will, keep Cy Stapleton in your prayers among all those on the prayer list. But Cy's having to stay down all week at MD Anderson for his next round of chemo. It takes apparently a long time to administer that, so he's going to be down there throughout this week. So keep him in your prayers. I know he'd appreciate it. If you will, take the peace that we have with Jesus Christ, share it with one another. Turn to those around you and share the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all. God, who gives us breath, calls us to be a light to the nations.
We gather to learn God's will and hear God's call anew.
We're called to serve in the name of Jesus, God's beloved Son.
God calls us by name, and we are beloved too.
Let us worship the God who loves us, claims us, and calls us. And let us pray. God, thank you that your love is steadfast and endures forever, that it loves us whether we're at our worst or at our best. Thank you that you have claimed us for eternal life and that we eternally belong to you. Thank you also that you deem us worthy to come alongside Christ and minister in his name. So as we praise you and thank you for your blessings and your love, for your presence with us, we ask that your Spirit equip us for the days ahead, that we could go forth as your loving witnesses at work in the world. Help us to be those who go forth rejoicing in the presence and in the power of your Holy Spirit. So come, be with us now. Fill our lives as we surrender ourselves to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you will, let's stand and sing hymn 477, "You Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim." Hymn 477.
Confessing our sin can remind us of our baptism. In baptism, God washes the water over our lives to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The water of baptism reminds us that as forgiven people, our lives are refreshed by God's forgiveness, that we are made right with God, and therefore called into to join Jesus in his ministry in the world today. Let us not only confess our sins so that forgiveness can wash over us, but let us hear anew God's call to join Jesus in his ministry today. Together, let us pray the prayer of confession found in your bulletin. Merciful God, in baptism you promise forgiveness and new life. We confess that we prefer our old ways. We resist the new opportunities you set before us. We cling to harmful habits and ignore your ways. We often serve our own needs first without serving those of others. By your Holy Spirit, move among us so that we might live together with grace and generosity. Revive in us a servant's heart, that we may continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. Grant us courage and compassion to be your witnesses in your world today. Amen.
I like Romans 8, verse 1, the Apostle Paul, after talking about his struggle with sin, announces that incredible news, and probably with a great sigh of relief and joy, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. And from that moment on, he goes on to talk about what a life filled with the Holy Spirit looks like. And he describes what it is and what it does because there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. So hearing this good news that we are not condemned, but we are claimed and called by God, let's stand to our feet and with joy sing together the Gloria Patri. Use this moment to reflect on God's goodness to you and your life. And if your heart is glad, think of how you can make an offer of praise to the Lord, because God loves a cheerful giver. With that in mind, let us bring now our offerings.
Merciful and gracious God, from whose open hand we all have received much, we ask you to accept our offerings of your people. Remember in your love those who have brought it. Remember also those persons and purposes for which it is given. So follow the sacrifice with your blessing, that it may promote peace and goodwill and advance the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You cannot be seated. We're going to go ahead and go to our next hymn. So, yeah, psych. Okay, Jesus calls us. That's our That's the insert that you'll see there in the bulletin. So grab your bulletin and let's sing that together. Jesus Calls Us.
Confessing our sin can remind us of our baptism. After celebrating the advent of Christmas, Christ's birth, the Gospels quickly take us to Jesus' baptism so that we can see why he came. Jesus came to demonstrate God's love by taking on our sin and defeating it at the cross. His ministry begins at his baptism. The baptism is God equipping him with the Holy Spirit and claiming him with the encouraging words that God is well pleased with Jesus. Our baptism is to remind us we are called to this life to join Christ in God's purpose, and God is very pleased to call and equip you for the ministry. In this encouraging scene with Jesus, let us be encouraged, knowing God equips and favors us to serve as well. I will read from Matthew 3, 13 through 17, found on page 3 of your pew Bible, if you would like to follow along. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Leave thy throne and thy kingdom.
Thank you, choir. Kitty announced when she was reading Matthew's gospel that the writers of the gospels quickly go from Jesus' birth to his baptism because they want us to know why he came, because it was a big deal. And this is why very soon in February you'll find us having our Ash Wednesday and moving into the Lenten season, because we look at that purpose. We watch him go to the cross and realize it was for us and our sins that he did so. But what we also need to recognize is that when we see Jesus, we need to understand that his mission becomes our mission. This is why God has you here in the world today. In Bible study this week, somebody reminded me of the WWJD, what would Jesus do? And so it's important for us to know what he did. Well, without getting too preachy, I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 42. And it's going to talk about a special servant from God. And this servant doesn't get weary, because the servant is very aware that God loves him. The servant is very aware that God's love has chosen him and that God's love will be with him. And so this servant goes to fulfill a very special task, empowered by God the Father. So let us hear what it says in Isaiah. And as we hear it, of course, it is what we do see fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison of those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. With those words in Isaiah verse 1, I hope you heard them long ago in your baptism, and I pray that you still hear those words this very day. God is saying to you, you are my servant, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon you. When you came out of the waters of baptism, God was saying, as if you were in the NFL, you're my number one draft pick. You're starting a new career in the National Football League. It doesn't matter one bit how much it costs to have you on my team. I choose you and I will pay whatever it takes to put you on my team. If baptism were the elections, God would tell you, you get my vote. You're God's choice. You're God's candidate. If baptism were the president, then it would be God as president choosing you to be his ambassador, to represent him in whatever part of the world he has placed you, giving you all the resources and all the power of his kingdom to carry out that responsible role. Why would these analogies be true? It's because God delights in you. God designates you and delivers his Spirit to you simply because he takes great joy in having you as his beloved son or his beloved daughter. As a parent, you may know what that's like. As a baptized child of God, it's not like when we were growing up and we hoped when getting ready to play a game that the two captains, when choosing their team, it's not like those days when we hope, gosh, I hope I'm not the last one picked. That's not the case at all. Baptism is to tell you that you are God's first and foremost choice. God is so eager to choose you and have you on his team. When God looks over the playing field, God says with incredible confidence, you know, I need you for this play. I know that I have elected you, and I know that I have equipped you for this very moment. So get out there and get the job done. And with that, we hopefully respond and take the field. You can forget about how much pay Ezekiel Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys held out for before he would even play or show up for practice. God wants you on his team so very much that he sent his most valuable, his only son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross and there die for your sins, to give his life for yours. God gave him so he could have you. God sent his only son so that you would always be eligible, always eligible for God's first round draft pick. You're chosen and you're called. You're elected and equipped. You're picked and you're purposed to join God on the playing field because God has paid the very high and costly price, the life of his own son, so that you could be eligible. And this is just simply because God loves you that much and wants you so much to be a part of his life, part of his world, and a part of his work. That's why we're here. Now, in a world that is growing increasingly divisive and fault-finding, as we all know, you need to hear that God has picked you and has plans for you, and that God is actually delighted about that. Your baptism, like that we heard of for Jesus, is calling you to come out of those waters where your sins have been washed away, out of those waters where your life has been refreshed, to get up and walk in newness of life, where your purpose and the reason that you are here is not to serve yourself, believe it or not, but to join Jesus Christ in continuing his ministry to serve others. And so God not only declares with you, yes, you, forgiven and made clean, I am well pleased. But not only am I well pleased, that's not the end of the story. I am not only well pleased, I'm equipping you with my very Spirit so that you can be super equipped to walk with Jesus and join him in his continued ministry to the world. you recall Psalm 121, it tells us our help comes from the Lord. Like David, who had to face great giants, and Samson, who had to take his stand against armies, and like the Israelites, who had to come march up against the massive walls of Jericho, our help, just like theirs, comes from the Lord. Psalm 121 goes on to tell us, the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. I guess one of the qualities of God is he's an insomniac. But here in Isaiah, it says there is a special servant in verse 4 who will not grow faint. And we do see that in Jesus. When confronted by Satan in the wilderness immediately after his baptism, Jesus emerges victorious. And the reason it tells us that he was then comforted by angels sent from God is so he could continue his ministry with strength. Jesus didn't give in. He didn't give up. He didn't give out. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, whom he wrestled with the night before in the garden, he marched up the hill of Calvary and, like I said, gave his life for ours. For Jesus, no cost was too great, no stakes were too high, because he was empowered. He was empowered by the Spirit of God, who neither slumbers nor sleeps nor grows weary. Now, I don't need to ask you if you ever get weary. I know you do. I know I do. There's times we all get weary. God knows that. But we do need to also remember we are chosen and not to be frozen, equipped and energized by the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps nor grows weary. I do worry about our willingness and energy to continue serving God when people who say they are believers today are too tired to worship, to come here and be equipped and re-equipped by the very same Spirit who gave Samson his incredible strength and Jesus the determination to make it to his cross. When God calls us to a Sabbath rest, we need to learn, or we're supposed to learn, that that means we rest in God, not on our pillows. It means that we are to learn how to rest in God's loving presence, that we have this day during the week where we, like God did after the 6 days of creation, just stop and rest in God's creative, restorative power. Warn him, but Michael McCracken told me about this commercial on TV. There's a new app, pray.com. If you get the app, you can turn it on at bedtime and fall asleep as it reads the Bible to you. Michael said, Brian, you're going to be in big trouble because the people that get that app are going to get so used to hearing God's word that when you open the Bible and start reading, you're going to look up and see they're out there snoring because they've been trained to fall asleep to God's word. That Kirk commercial trying to give you a Christian product has the worst theology I have ever seen. Somebody needs to write them a letter. They're out of their mind. And I could really get carried away with this, but it is terrible. Fall asleep to God's word, really? Not the President of the United States, not the King of the universe, not some star NFL player. God speaks to you. God. the creator of the universe, the one that's over it all and in it all and controls it all and has purposed it all, wants to talk to you. What are you going to say? Not now. I want to go to sleep. In worship, this whole standing, sitting down, why do we do it? When God speaks, when we recognize that it's not just anyone, but God choosing to speak to us, and oh, by the way, what he's saying to us is so incredibly wonderful and good and great, we can't help jump to our feet, hopefully in joy, wanting to say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You know, we do this call to worship, and in there we might talk about Jesus being forgiven. We might talk about God's steadfast love enduring forever. That's reason to jump up and say, man, I have heard not just anybody, but God tell me that he's always going to love me. I've got to sing a song. And that's why the hymn follows. And then we find out that God would do whatever it took to purify us so we could be brought into his perfect and holy presence forever. And so he gave us his only son. So it's natural to say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. And after we confess our sins, for the choir to say, Lord, have mercy upon us. And me to get up and say, God wants to tell you he has. And so that's why I say, let's jump up and sing the Gloria Patri. What wonderful news. Our sins aren't going to be held against us. We can go forward and move ahead and do so with the presence of Jesus Christ with us. Wow. I'm going to throw my shoe at the TV next time they tell me to download that app that makes you fall asleep when you hear the Bible. It's ridiculous. But you see, God knows we can get weary. And Isaiah, they had to hear about that servant because they were slaves. And God was going to free them. And they were going to need to walk in newness of life. And he said, hey, I'm telling you, new things are about to happen. And I want you to know about it before it even takes place. So get ready. But we need to learn to respond. So yeah, we're going to stand and sit and worship again and again. Because in a subtle way, when God speaks, I'm going to respond. I'm going to get up and say, thank you, Lord. Either with a hymn or a prayer or a Gloria Patri or a doxology. I'm going to respond. But we do get weary. I don't know if you remember the days when Volkswagen had those VW vans. They weren't that fast. And there was a pastor who was behind a semi-trailer, and of course, like any 18-wheeler, was going slow, and he wanted to pass it. And so he pulled out into the other lane, and he just floored it. And, you know, those vans weren't all too quick themselves. And so he's starting to inch up on the trailer, and sure enough, here comes a car in his lane. So he has to take his foot off the gas and drop back behind the trailer. Well, they go down the road a ways, and finally it looks like there's an opening. So he pulls back out, and he's getting ready to just put the pedal to the metal. Here comes another car, and so he's got to drop back behind the trailer. Can't pass. They start to go up this long hill, and he can see that there's a long way to go, but no cars are coming. So he pulls out, and he just puts the pedal to the metal. And I mean, that van is just inch by inch by inch. That VW van is just trying to get around that trailer. And the guy's wife just starts cracking up. And he goes, what's so funny? And she said, look, the driver of the semi had taken off his belt, and he rolled down the window, and he's whipping the truck, you know, like, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, you know. But you know, isn't that how we feel sometimes going uphill? Oh, gosh, if we could just get past this obstacle, you know, I can, you know, that's how we feel for a variety of reasons, and God knows that. But whenever you remember your baptism, remember God delights and God delivers in you. If you remember Genesis, where God forms a human out of the dust of the earth, it's just a form. But when God breathes His Spirit into that person made out of dust, it comes to life. It comes alive once it receives God's Spirit. It's the picture of God sharing His life, His breath with us. And God gives you that very same Spirit. And that Spirit that descended on Jesus at His baptism is the very same Spirit that is given to you and enabled Him to carry out God's ministry, and it will do the same for you. And that enables you to walk like Him in kindness, gentleness, to walk loving justice, doing mercy, to be last as you serve others first, because you know, even if you are last, in God's eyes, you're first. And also, when we make ourselves last, the other people on the receiving end have the joy of what it feels like to be made first, to be put ahead, to be advanced, and we can tell them that's the way God feels about you. The Spirit. And that's a good thing. We're called to continue the ministry of Jesus to bring release to those in spiritual darkness and help bring order to a chaotic world. And we do need this Spirit that does not grow weary or tired or get crushed. But we don't need to wait to receive power in order to serve the Lord. You see, the Spirit came at Pentecost. It was present in our baptism, and it never leaves us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And so the message today isn't wait to receive power from on high, as Jesus told His disciples prior to Pentecost. It is more of what Paul told Timothy when he advised him to stir up the gift of God that is in you. In worship, come, let that Spirit fan that spark of faith into a flame. I hope you realize this, and I'm going to finish with this. In your baptism, and right now today, God calls you to participate in a very large effort, the goals of which seem unreachable. The schedules needed to participate unmanageable. Entering situations that will make you uncomfortable. The problems encountered along the way seemingly unbearable. But it is the God of the cross that calls you. It is the undiscouraged God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, who is so eager and delighted to draft you, choose you, call you, equip you to be His servant, who with His Spirit shows His sacrificial love to a most hurting world today. I don't know what the world has been saying to you, but allow your baptism to tell you over and over again, God is delighted and God delivers in you. Amen. And because we believe that, let's stand and declare what we believe. Let us fan that spark of faith into a flame as we declare our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray to the God that watches over us, sends his angels to us, the God that never slumbers, sleeps, or is wearied by us. Let us go to him in prayer. God, thank you that your love values us as much as it does. Thank you that your love will go to whatever places we might find our lives in and seek us out and call us back to you. Thank you that your love not only calls us back to you, but encourages us to join you in your work, to be part of the gospel story that you're writing this very day. I pray that our names would be written in, on the pages of your gospel that is being written this very day. Because we've said yes to your presence. We believe in your power and your equipping. And we see what a great privilege it is to share your sacrificial love with others. And again, thank you for that sacrifice of Jesus, who would do whatever it takes without giving up to make us eligible to live in your loving kingdom forever. I pray that we would live in the world as citizens of heaven, that we would be your ambassadors of reconciliation. Peace that makes it all possible. We do pray for the weary in our midst that we know of right now. The ones that are fighting cancer, the ones that are getting treatments, the ones that are calling on your mercy and grace to heal them, and for the loved ones around them that are trying to encourage and support them and love them. To a nursing facility to live, that you would help them through their transition and help them be at peace with their situation, knowing that they're not alone, but that you are with them. Send us out to sit with them, to talk with them, to encourage them so that loneliness has nothing to say. And in the coming days ahead, Lord, we thank you for our preschool and the ability to tell these young little lives about your great love that is seen, found, and freely offered in Jesus Christ. We pray that your Spirit would equip all those teachers who each and every day pour your love onto those little lives. And we pray for the fundraiser coming up, that you would bless it so that we could help those in the community send their children to such a safe and good place. Finally, Lord, just thank you for those people that you put in our lives who took the time to tell us about you and your love, about you and your purpose, about the life that we have forever with you. We thank you for them and their faithfulness to respond to your call to be witnesses to us. Send us now to be witnesses to the world as we come praying to you the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our going out hymn is hymn 734, Be Strong in the Lord. It's printed there on the pages of your bulletin. So if you'll turn inside your bulletin where it says, Be Strong in the Lord, let's go out singing it together. As you go forth, be confident and strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours, now and forever. Amen.